from Hollywood. It's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Walter Bascom, Mr. Dollar.
Bascom?
Tri-Western Life and Casualty in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, sure. How are you?
Just fine. But I have a problem with a $100,000 claim.
A big one, huh? Who's the villain this time?
Well, that's just it. This is a claim I want to pay, but can't.
Oh, that's a switch. But how can I help?
Dollar, I hope that you can find the body.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
And now, Act One of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Tri-Western Life and Casualty Insurance Company, Los Angeles office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Glacier Ghost matter. Expense account item one, $198.25, air transportation, Hartford to Los Angeles, California. It was late when the big four-engine plane circled slowly the land. In the clear night air, the myriad multicolored lights of the City of Angels made it sparkle like some tremendous field of precious stones. Item 2480, taxi into the Ambassador Hotel, which is just a stone's throw from Tri-Western's offices on Wilshire Boulevard. I immediately hit the sack. Item 3, $2 even for breakfast the following morning, after which I walked over to Walter Bascom's office.
Well, you got here a lot sooner than I expected, Dollar. Would you sit down?
Thanks, Walt. Now, whose body am I supposed to dig up where?
I'll give it to you in a nutshell. The policy is straight life, $100,000, no double indemnity or special clauses.
And the insurance?
Raymond R. Sheldon, partner in Rykoff Sheldon Plastics Company here in L.A.
Beneficiary?
His wife, Gloria. She lives in Westwood, and that's the section of town just out beyond Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I know.
I've handled every bit of Sheldon's insurance for some 15 years, on his plant as well as household, personal property, automobile, everything. It's been a very profitable account. I've handled it myself.
Uh-huh, so what happened?
Both Sheldon and his business partner, Albert Rykoff, were inveterate hunters and fishermen.
Real normal fellas.
Spent all the time they could poking around up in the high Sierras.
Oh, great trout country, I hear.
Yes. Well, 3 weeks ago, one Friday afternoon, they took off to do some exploring to locate, if they could, a little lake somewhere north of the Palisade Glacier.
Glacier? In California?
The Palisade is the southernmost glacier in the country.
Oh, I see. So what happened?
Well, so they packed in from a station near the town of Big Pine. That's a couple of hundred miles north of here in the Mount Whitney area.
Whitney, huh? Highest mountain in the United States, isn't it?
No, there are a lot of high peaks in that area.
Well, I wonder there's a lot of ice up there.
You know, some that never melts. At any rate, they found their lake, only it was a big one, just below another glacier, the other side of Palisade, a glacier they had to skirt in order to get back to the pack station. Well, that's where it happened. Lone Horse Glacier. Blizzard came up. They had trouble finding their route and foolishly drifted apart. A big ice ledge broke off and plunged Sheldon down into a tremendous, a deep crevasse.
What about his partner, Ryko?
Well, 2 days later, half-starved and barely alive, he crawled into the pack station.
You say both of them knew that country pretty well.
Yes.
Now, what was this crank on the phone about finding a body?
Sheldon's. To establish legal proof of his death, it's still somewhere up in that glacier ice.
Well, didn't search parties go on?
Oh, yes. As soon as the storm cleared, and they found where the break in the ice shelf occurred, but could see no sign of the body at the bottom.
Well, that's easily understandable. But if a bunch of natives to that part of the country couldn't find anything, how do you expect me to?
I don't know, but I hope you'll try. Otherwise, the provision for a 52-week wait will have to apply.
I thought it was 7 years when somebody can't be found.
No, I'm talking about the standard disappearance following accident clause we use in our policies.
Why are you so anxious to pay off this claim in such a hurry?
Well, we know what happened to Ray Sheldon and...
According to his partner, Rykoff.
Yes. Even if Sheldon had survived the... the avalanche, or whatever you want to call it, he couldn't have lived more than a few hours up in that cold, much less ever get back alone. So, why drag the whole thing out?
His wife need the money?
Yes, very badly.
And I take it you know her.
Yes. Yes, very well, Dollar. You see, I'm in love with her.
I let that one pass, although I was sure Walt knew exactly what I must be thinking. Item 4, a couple of bucks for a taxi out to the Rykoff Sheldon Plastics Company on Washington Boulevard. Al Rykoff turned out to be a tall, good-looking, well-built fellow in his late 30s. And except for going into a bit more detail, gave me virtually the same story Walt Bascom had. I wondered out loud just how much the loss of his partner meant to him.
Are you kidding, Dollar? Ray was like a brother to me. But we were closer than brothers. It was a perfect partnership. If it hadn't been for Ray Sheldon, I wouldn't be at the head of this business.
You mean because of his death?
Dollar, before I came in here with him 5 years ago, he built this plant up single-handed. He was the one who struggled through all of its growing pains, financing, developing the dyeing and casting machines that have finally got us the fat government contracts that... No, wait a minute.
Yeah?
You said I'm on top now because of his death. Now, if you're thinking what I think you are...
Let's lay our cards on the table. To whom does this business go
now that Sheldon has been? No? To me, on the basis of our partnership agreement.
Now, look here, Dollar. Take it easy, Rex.
Yes, but if you're trying to
imply... I'm not trying to imply anything. I'm just trying to get the whole picture, that's all. I've been sent out here to see if I can find Sheldon's body so that a life insurance claim can be paid. I came to see you in the hope you might be able to help me find his body.
I'm sorry. I guess this whole thing has me... I'm sorry. I'll help you any way I can. Do you intend going up to the Sierras?
Yes. And I'd like you to come along with me.
I will, gladly.
All right.
But I don't see how I can possibly get away from here for a couple of days at least. Now, if you can wait, we can fly up there in my own plane.
Well, no. I don't want to just sit around here doing nothing for 2 days. So I'll go ahead. You meet me up there as soon as you can get away.
Do you know where to go?
Give me directions and I'll leave now. Item 5, $1.70, taxi. Home of Ray Sheldon's widow on Pandora Avenue out in Westwood. It was a small but attractive place in a middling to good neighborhood. Mrs. Sheldon, barely turned 40, I'd say, was also small and attractive.
I didn't realize it would be necessary for an investigator to come all the way out from Westwood.
Well, it's only because of Walter Bascom's request to settle your insurance claim so quickly.
Walter knows how much I need the money, Johnny. And please call me Gloria, won't you?
Why, sure. If you like.
You see, Ray kept putting all his money back in the business. There was something about having to expand the plant to handle some important government work.
Yes, I understand the contracts for it have come through.
Only a month or so ago. Now, poor Ray isn't here to see his labors bear fruit. 15 long years of depriving himself, working so hard, all for nothing. Only to end up buried in the snow and ice. Of the country he loved so much. I'm sorry, Johnny.
Well, he seems to have provided pretty well for you. This nice home, the insurance.
Kind of a reward, I guess you'd call it.
Reward?
For standing by him during the difficult times. You see, we were never really very close together as husband and wife.
Oh?
Ray was 13 years older than me. I guess I married him because I respected and admired him so. For the way he studied and worked his way up from nothing. No family, no formal education. And you see, it was my social contacts that enabled him to finance the plastics business. Even Albert, his partner, met him through me.
Oh. How, Gloria?
Well, to be perfectly honest about it, Albert. Well, he was in love with me. I'd met him in Florida, where Ray had sent me one winter, and they've done wonderfully together. Al has almost become a member of the family.
Is he still in love with him?
I don't know. He's too nice to show it if he is.
You're sure of that?
What? Well, of course I am. You seem to forget that he and Ray were very close. What kind of a person would he be to make love to his best friend's wife?
It's happened.
I don't see what you...
Tell me this. Are you in love with Al Rykoff?
Mr. Dollar.
Or is it Walt Best?
What?
After all, he's in love with you as me.
Mr. Dollar.
Well?
Yes. Yes. What are you trying to say? Whatever it is, I don't think I like it. Not a bit. It's almost as though you suspected somebody of murdering Ray.
It is a possibility, isn't it?
Of course not. Who?
Several people might benefit, like you, for instance.
This is the most...
After years of a half-baked marriage and struggling along, how you can call wintering in Florida struggle, I don't know.
I told you. He tried to make up to me for all...
And his business partner, Rykoff, who now owns the business, now that it's suddenly begun to prosper.
Are you trying to say that Al...
And the fact that Al might still care for you could look pretty suspicious, couldn't it?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Now what about Walt Bascom? It's pretty unusual when an insurance man is so anxious to spend the company's money. But then, if he has intentions toward the beneficiary of the policy
involved... Charlie, this is awful. This is terrible. These things you're saying, I won't let you. I won't stand for this. You
won't have to, Gloria.
Al!
Oh, now, come on. Put that thing down, Rykoff.
I thought you'd come here instead of going up to the mountain. You know, everything you said was possible, Dollar.
Al, dear, please.
Possible, but not true. And I won't stand for you or anyone else tormenting this girl this way. She's been through more than she deserves as it is. And I'm not going to stand still while some stupid insurance dick makes her tear her heart out over
just
the...
Just settle down, Rykoff, and put that thing away.
Now, you get out of here.
Just put yourself in my place.
I have. And that's why I said all those wild theories of yours are possible, all of them. All three of us have plenty to gain with Ray Sheldon out of the way, especially me. Because in the long run, I stand to benefit most. And I'd be number one suspect, wouldn't I? Because I was the last one to see Ray. The only one who was with him when he died. The only one who could have murdered him.
But this is a big butt, Dollar.
Even if I had killed Ray Sheldon, neither you nor anybody else would ever be able to prove it. Remember that. Now get out.
Building of friends.
Some fast thinking and a lot of careful, deliberate talking to calm down Al Rykoff, partner of Raymond Sheldon, who had allegedly died in a mountain climbing accident. If Sheldon had been murdered, Rykoff was a natural suspect. One of three, that is. But unless I could find Sheldon's body buried somewhere in the ageless ice and snows of a glacier high in the Sierra country, Al was right. There couldn't possibly be proof that Sheldon's death wasn't accidental. Al finally became convinced that an attack on me would only add to any suspicions that he might have murdered Sheldon. That his only defense would be to help me all he could. He freely admitted still being in love with Gloria Sheldon. And he repeated that his reason for bursting in on us was to protect her from further heartache over all that had happened. And who knows, maybe he was telling the truth. In any event, we took off about an hour later in his two-engine plane, headed almost due north, and by 3 p.m. we're cruising along through the high, thin air over the tall peaks of the Sierra Nevada.
Over there to the right, little town you see is Big Pine.
That's your base of operations when you and Sheldon came up here looking for the mountain lake?
No, that's Forrest Lewis's back station. Directly ahead there, where you see that long, clear space, that's where we'll spend the night.
Looks like he has a landing field.
Yeah, he has. Some of the lakes up here, dozens of them, have to be flown into unless you want to pack in on horseback for several days. There's Palisade Glacier over there to your left.
That's not the one where Sheldon was trapped.
No. That was Lone Horse Glacier. Other side of that next peak.
The small plane labored in the high altitude, but managed to carry us clear of the 12,000-foot peak. And then, below us, we saw the lake being found. Lone Horse Lake. Clear and blue, and all but surrounded by snow-covered rocks. Al, it took a lot of guts to pack up here.
No, we were just crazy to do it so early. Like other fishing fools, we were determined to have a place all to ourselves. Now, look ahead there, due north, on the far rim of the lake.
Lone Horse Glacier?
Yeah, Lone Horse Glacier. That's the big crevasse just above the edge of the lake, but... Well, that's where the ice ledge broke off.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see how the bottom of that crevasse would be impossible to get to.
Yeah. Here, take these glasses while I make a turn.
Huh?
It got warm enough to rain up here one day last week. Wash away some of the fresh snow at the spot where he fell. So
I came up and flew over it like we're doing now.
So?
So look down. Directly down. You see?
It's a body. But it's a body down there.
It's Ray's body.
But positive identification from up here is impossible.
Just as impossible as ever recovering.
Yeah, I can see that. And you two were absolutely alone up here.
I doubt if anyone else has ever been crazy enough to climb this spot.
Yeah. Well, Al, what I see is proof enough for me. So,
a dollar? I'm sorry if I acted like a fool there, Gloria's house. Look, I swear, all I was trying to do was...
I think I understand, Al. Let's go back to the pack station.
Yeah. And thanks, Dollar.
There was nothing fancy about Forrest Lewis's pack station, and he was full up with early season fishermen. Some who chose to go up into their favorite spots by pack train, others who could afford to be flown into their pet camping spots. Over a plain but hearty evening meal in the log building that Forrest called his lodge, an idea slowly began to form in the back of my head.
Yeah, Dollar. One of my flyboys spotted Sheldon's body there, too, right after that rain we had last week.
That's so?
Before that, we'd hunted around on the trails up there for days, but we couldn't find nothing.
You think there's any chance of recovering it?
Not a chance. Impossible, even with a helicopter. That chasm where he fell in is too deep and rugged.
A helicopter would ever make that altitude, Johnny, much less fight the air pockets to get close enough.
Yeah, never reach it by trail either, because that chasm just north of it. Chasm that opened up when the ice ledge busted off. Watch, even deeper than the one Sheldon's body's in. You try climbing around on the narrow ridge that's left, and you and the ridge and everything else will go crashing down in the Lone Horse Lake. Oh, that's that.
Yeah, I see.
Now, that body will just have to lay there till the end of time, preserved by the cold and the ice, and it'll soon surround it.
And yet it's a fitting tomb for a man who loved this country so much.
Yeah, he's a mighty nice man, too. Mighty nice. Look, as long as you fellas are up here, why don't you stay a couple extra days and do some fishing? A lot of mighty fine goldens being took out of some of the small high lakes up there. How about it, Mr. Rico?
I'd like to, Forrest, but I'm afraid I'd better get back to Los Angeles.
You? Turned down a chance to fish? Well, I can't believe it.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm afraid I've kind of lost my desire to fish up here after... Well,
oh, yeah, sure, son. I'm sorry. I should have realized.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that offer, Forrest. My cracks at golden trout are too few and far between. What's more, come to think of it, I'm on an expense account. So why not? But I had an entirely different kind of fishing in mind. And the following morning, immediately after Al Rykoff hopped into his plane and took off for Los Angeles, I got going. From Forrest Lewis, I got hold of a couple of sticks of dynamite. Then, with his help and a handful of 30-30 cartridges, I devised a couple of impact fuses, a trick I'd learned a long time ago from a pal on the New York arson squad. Just to make sure, Forrest and I rigged up one of them with a small charge and dropped it into a deep rock-strewn crevice near the edge of his property to see if it worked.
Great balls of fire, Johnny. I'll say it works.
Yeah. Yeah, even with a drop of only 40 or 50 feet.
Oh, what are you going to do now? You still haven't told me what this is all about.
Well, didn't I notice a set of pontoons on one of the planes tied down on your landing strips?
Wheels and pontoons. That's Joe Gracie's plane. That shows he can drop the customers down on the lakes where they want to camp on the edge of.
Then Joe's my boy.
Cost you $50 a trip.
That'll be okay.
Man, if you're going after Golden's, he'll know where to take you.
Forrest, how much dynamite have you got there in your workshop?
Oh, a couple of cases or two. You know, in case I decide to put up another building, need some more rock. Hey, well, wait a minute. Your idea of fishing ain't to dynamite a lake, is
it? No, hardly. But I'll need about a case of the stuff. Come on, let's get at it. Item 6, 2450 dynamite. And I threatened Forrest Lewis with mayhem if he told the pilot. That's item 7, by the way, $50 even. Joe Gracie didn't even ask about the box I put aboard his plane. Probably thought it was a city dude's idea of a tackle box. Joe could fly all right. He seemed to know every up and down draft and every mountain pass in the area and be ready for it.
Yeah, some of them are pretty wicked, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, brother, I can see that all right. Some of these jagged peaks around here look pretty wicked, too.
I'll stay clear of them.
I hope so. Okay, now that's Lone Horse Glacier on the left, isn't it?
Check.
And the first crevasse up from the edge of the lake is the one with Sheldon's body in it.
That's right. I was the first one to spot it last week.
All right.
I want you to fly as close as possible down toward that second crevasse, the deep one.
The one back of the one where the body is?
That's right.
Check. Now what?
Be prepared for the surprise of your life.
Well, now, look, with you paying the charter and giving the orders and all, I didn't want to say anything, but if you want a lake that has a lot of gold...
Now, lower, Joe, lower. Just as close to that second chasm as you dare.
You're the boss.
Easy now. Lower still and parallel it.
That's what we're doing.
Right rudder, just ahead.
Look over to the left in a couple of seconds, and you'll see Sheldon's body in that other rift.
You look at it. Here now.
Hey, shut that door! What are you doing, Dollar?
Gain altitude, Joe, fast.
What'd you throw out? What are you up to?
Dynamite.
Well, that'll blow these two ridges clear into the lake. Dollar, hang on!
Great shockwave rocked our tiny plane. And below, we could see tall plumes of shattered ice and snow reach upward into the thin, cold air, form a light glistening cloud, and finally slowly settle down toward the mountain and the lake. The two high ridges of ice had been pushed over into the lake, as though by some giant hand, and they were floating. Then when the lake settled down, we landed on it. By this time, I'd given Joe some idea of my purpose, or he might have thrown me out and hightailed it back to the pack station alone.
Hey, it worked, Mr. Dollar. I see it floating there straight ahead. That's it, all right. Sheldon's body.
Yeah. Now, take it easy, Joe. I'm going to climb down on the pontoon and try to pick it up.
Man, you better be mighty careful.
Don't worry, brother. I will.
Fall in that ice water, you wouldn't last half a minute.
A little bit to the right. Just as slow as you can now.
Check. How's that?
Easy now. Easy does it. Easy. Here.
You okay?
Okay. Cut your engine and help me get him aboard.
Check.
Attaboy.
Your guy's body's preserved
perfect by the cold. Help me hoist him up.
Now, sure. Now, you can just...
Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I guess it's just about what I expected to find.
Good Lord.
He and Al Rykoff were alone up there. So they had happened. And before Sheldon fell into that crevasse, he was carefully, repeatedly shot in the back.
Good Lord.
At 11,000 feet and with the extra load, the takeoff from Lone Horse Lake wasn't easy. But we finally made it and started back toward the pack station.
Sure is an awful thing what some people will do sometimes, Mrs. Ella.
Yeah, Joe, but sooner or later they get caught up with.
You think Sheldon's body full of bullet holes is enough to pin it on this guy, Rykoff?
By his own admission, he was the only one up there when Sheldon died.
Man, I bet if he'd known what you were up to here, he'd never have gone home.
That surprises me, too. Now that we know he was the killer. Joe?
Huh?
Is that one of your planes coming toward us?
Yeah. Same one I seen when we were landing on the lake. The sun was against us, though, so I couldn't be sure.
Wait a minute. That's Rykoff's plane.
What?
I'm sure of it.
He must have seen what we've been up to.
Look out for him. Look out for him. He's coming at us head on.
Crazy fool!
Look out. Duck!
Shooting at us out of the window.
Can you outrun him?
With this old single engine, never.
Look, Joe. He's coming around again to get on our tail.
Like he's going to try to ram us.
Full throttle, Joe.
No, it's up tight. We haven't got a chance. We can't get... Yes. Yes, we can. Anchor pass.
Anchor pass.
Back toward Lone Horse. Between two peaks. We'll make it. But he won't.
What do you mean?
Downdraft. A bad downdraft. Unless you know about it, you're dead.
Are you sure we can make it?
Mister, we've got to make it. Hold your hat.
Come on now, he's coming up on us fast.
Here we go. We're okay now, Mrs. Ella.
Yeah. Oh, brother. We're flying, Joe. Good boy.
Yeah, but not Rykoff. Look back. He crashed within a couple of hundred yards of where he thought he'd buried his pal.
Yeah, I guess maybe you'd call that
justice, would you?
Yeah, Joe. Yeah. Yes, as Jewett said, justice was done in one of its own strange ways. And I suspect Walt Bascom will hesitate the next time he gets a request for such fast action on a claim. However, I see no reason why this one shouldn't be paid in full. Expense account total, including incidentals and transportation back to Hartford. Oh, and a couple of days fishing for golden trout there at Forrest Lewis's place. I needed it. Expense account total, $431.60. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a whale of a story about a whale. And if you ever started hunting for a missing whale, well, join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Herb Ellis, Forrest Lewis, James McCallion, and John Daner. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Coverley speaking. Johnny Dollar has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.